Well, we're back. It's the Constant Geekery podcast, everyone. That to us.
Welcome.
That was seamless. That was a great introduction. Yeah. And if you happen to be watching us on YouTube, and I shall now do the de rigueur revealing of the YouTube URL, which is youtube.com/theConstantGeekeryPodcast. If you wish to gaze upon Pete's lovely visage, you will also notice that we are indeed in the studio, but we have the requisite 1 meter gap between us, Pete, as required by law.
I mean, the reality is we probably would personally require more like 1 kilometer, but
I don't think that would ever be enough.
There's not enough cable.
No. So we are in the process of getting our offices/studio ready to receive staff again in June, which is, I mean, it's been over a year that we've been shut.
Yeah. It'll be best part of 14, 15 months by the time people start coming back in.
Yeah, scary. So the place is being turned upside down. We've got to reconfigure everything, reconfigure desks, reconfigure workspaces.
Design a podcast studio.
We've got to do that as well. And our plans for that have been kind of turned on their heads because our managing director rather unreasonably wanted his own office. So I was trying to say, look, you don't need it. You don't need it, Tom. But he was absolutely adamant that he was going to have it. So,
yeah. Yeah. In actual fact, I think people should know that he kicked me out of my office.
He did.
To have it.
He did. It's outrageous behavior, honestly. Yeah.
And now I just get to have the office I always wanted, which seems wrong somehow.
It does. Yeah. Well, it's got air conditioning in it now.
Yes, it does.
And it's good to have you back, Pete, if you are indeed back, because you're probably quite camouflaged with our grey studio backdrop.
Yeah, that was sort of not really thought about when I got dressed this morning because I didn't know where we would be shooting today. So you might just see my head floating around if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're not, count your blessings.
Yeah. We should probably stop gabbing and get on. There's no Dave drinks today because it's the middle of the day. I can't be ploughing in a dram at this point. I have had a coffee. Does that count?
Oh, it's a drink. Okay. And you are Dave and you did drink it.
So there we go. That was done. I imagine there won't be any Pete Eats action either.
No, not today.
Although we probably will have some lunch at some point.
That would be nice.
Yeah. I don't think that would be entertainment for anyone. I don't imagine this is entertainment thus far either. So here's what's in this podcast. So we're going to recover the topics of the podcast, which never got aired. And we're going to talk about iPad versus laptop.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be a more interesting conversation. And obviously everything is relative, folks, more interesting than it was because of the release of the M1.
Yeah.
iPad Pro.
Yeah, which obviously we were just waiting for when we recorded the original version of this podcast.
Yeah. And the Spring Loaded event hadn't happened. Now, I did credit you. I don't know if you bothered listening to the podcast where it was just me talking.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, and can I just say thank you for your very kind words. And also, I read the comments from all you subscribers. So thank you. Very touched by your sentiments and comments. Are much appreciated.
Oh, that's very nice. Now, of course, the Spring Loaded event, you correctly predicted there would be an iMac, Pete. And actually, when we were talking about it in the unaired version of the podcast, I sort of came around to your way of thinking, and we did conclude that it would be a smaller iMac with an M1 chip, which is exactly what we've got.
Yeah.
And I believe you did say something about pink. Are you satisfied with the pinkness of the pink iMac?
Depends what you mean by satisfied. Yeah, it's all right. It's okay. I'm not going to get one, but not because I'm unhappy with the pink.
Well, you might not get one, but you know, we might get one and put it on your desk and you might have no choice in the matter.
Pink and orange don't go well together though, do they? I got orange walls in the office.
There is that. I don't care about that.
Okay.
Just like to see you working on a pink computer.
Pink iMac.
And what you've got to remember, of course, is that particularly lurid pink color is most visible to everybody else coming into your office because it's deeper on the back than on the front.
Yeah, and that's probably the nicest part of the new iMac.
The back?
Mm.
I agree with you. I kind of get why they would do a lighter color. So if you're not familiar with, I'm sure you are familiar with the iMac, it's a deeper color on the back than it is on the front. But they've made it kind of pastely by putting the glass screen all the way down so it covers the chin at the bottom. We should call it the chin. So I think that actually makes the effect even worse. So you, looking at your pink iMac, will see a very pastely, dare I say, girly pink? Are we allowed to say that anymore?
I don't know.
I've said it.
You've said it, so you know, comment accordingly. But yeah, well, it is a girly pink, isn't it?
Whereas everyone else coming into your office will see the more vivid pink.
The more manly pink.
We're jesting, but let's get serious about it a minute. Do you like it?
Oh, no. It's, no. I predicted the, as many others did, you know, this isn't no massive revelation on my part, but the iPad on a stick or on a stand look. But what Apple have managed to do is take the worst interpretation of that concept and put it into a final product. And I know there's a lot of division about this on YouTube. I think from behind it looks great. I think from the side it looks great. But I think the front is a disaster. And the reason for that is what it looks like is it looks like an iMac that might be sold on Wish or some other site that does cheap knockoffs. Do you know what I mean?
Is that because of the missing logo?
I think that's the biggest part of it.
Now, yeah. I was thinking about this when I did the podcast last week, and I couldn't think of an iMac that hasn't had the Apple logo on the front.
No.
So this is the first time they've taken it off. And I thought, yeah, like you, it looks like a knockoff product.
Mm. And it doesn't help with the white bezels. I understand why they've done the white bezels.
Mm.
But, yeah, and it's not growing on me. I mean, it's been 2 weeks, hasn't it, since the event. And it's not growing on me at all.
A lot of people are asking, why did they need the chin? Because if they can put the M1 in an iPad Pro, the new iPad Pro, along with the XDR display, you've got a much larger space. I know they've put two cooling fans in, which is perhaps something for discussion. But had they put all of those workings behind and made it slightly thicker and not had the chin, I think a lot of people would have agreed that that would be a better design choice.
Yeah, I would have been happier with that. Again, more of the iPad on the stand with maybe a tiny little Apple logo just at the bottom. I think that would have looked quite lush. A bit like, I think the cinema display had that kind of look directly from the front. That looked quite smart. I don't know why they've done the chin. I did watch a video, I think it was a Luke Maiani video, where he posited why they did it, but I can't remember what Luke said in that video. But I wonder if they're trying to keep some of the design lineage just to say, yeah, this is an iMac. But or maybe they just, you know, you've got so little of the colour on the front. They've made this big thing about the colours, so they've got to have a bit of colour on the front. But why not use the bezel for that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's people are divided on that. Some like the white bezel, some prefer a black bezel. And I think that is a personal preference thing. I think most people would agree that it would be better if it was just a bit thicker. Lots of people are upset, by the way, that you can't get space grey.
Really? I hadn't thought about that.
You can have silver, which is just one solid silver color. I'm just going to call up my web browser to have a look. But yeah, so you can have silver front and back, but there's no space gray option. That said, there never was a space gray option.
No,
that was only on the iPad Pro.
iMac Pro. Yeah. No, that's true. And maybe, well, I still hold to the XDR design language for the Pro-er iMacs that will come.
Right.
But yeah.
Be interesting to see whether that actually happens. And what do we think about the two fans? I mean, the MacBook Pro only has one fan, the Mac Mini has one fan. And it doesn't give a vast amount more performance than the MacBook Air, in fairness.
Hadn't really thought about it. I was going to say, will it help with performance? Will it just give you that extra bit of cooling? You know, when we did our original test, if you recall, back when we got the MacBook Air and the Mac Mini when the M1 was announced, I did get to the point where my machine was hot and that started to really affect performance.
In fairness, we were working it very hard to achieve that.
We were, but, you know, could it be that that's an attempt to just wring out a little bit more performance?
I think it's entirely possible. And we don't actually know. You know, some people are suggesting maybe the M1 chip is running at a slightly higher frequency. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe I'm sure some of these bigger YouTube channels have got got IMAX for review. I've deliberately avoided looking at any of that stuff until it actually lands.
Well, when I get my pink one, we can obviously compare that to my pink MacBook Air and your silver Mac Mini, and we can see if it's in any way faster.
Okay. I've always held that red is a faster color, so if they did a red one, then that would be faster.
If it had a stripe on it as well.
Yeah, racing stripes do add several horsepower, as you know.
Yeah, white, 10% more. Gold, 15%.
Right. GTI badge, couple of BHP extra.
Yes, and it also makes the operator of the computer an idiot.
Right, excellent. Yeah. Not trying to alienate any subscribers or listeners here, are we?
Having owned several GTIs and a Golf R, I think you know, I'm alienating myself with that. So.
Yeah. So I did obviously there was big pre-order day last week from the event. I did a little poll on the main channel, youtube.com/constantgeekery. Are you ordering Apple goodies today? 58% of people chose the option, I'd rather rub myself vigorously with a rusty cheese grater. 58% of you. I'm going to have to get some cheese graters in and ship them out to you guys because that... Yeah.
Well, without being cheesy, I think that's a great response.
Okay. Thanks for that, Pete.
That's okay. You've got to have a dad joke, haven't you?
Yeah. M1 iPad Pro, 16% of people were planning to pre-order that. iMac, 9%. Apple TV 4K, 8%. And 9% said, heck yeah, give me all of it. I want Tim Cook to have my babies. So, yeah. Form an orderly queue, folks. So... I haven't told you yet, Pete, what I've ordered.
No, you haven't.
I've been busy all weekend, which is why, incidentally, the podcast is late, and also because it's a holiday weekend, or it was a holiday weekend in the UK, so we're slightly late doing it. We were going to record it yesterday, but I was absolutely hanging, having spent 4 days doing manual labour.
What were you doing?
Digging trenches.
And I didn't know you lived in the Somme, or on the Somme.
Apparently the Germans are planning to invade.
Are they?
No.
No, okay.
Apparently, well, you have these great ideas, you know, like, say, putting power into outbuildings.
Mm.
And, you know, people say, ah, it's just a cable and you just dig a trench. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends what you're digging into, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, in my case, flint, lots of it, vast quantities of it. Anyway, so that's why we're late doing it. And I did jump out of the digger and go and do my pre-order at 1 p.m. UK time.
Just jump out of the digger. That sounds so Jason Statham. We need to recreate that at some point.
Okay.
That'd be brilliant.
I imagine it will look a lot less glamorous in reality than probably. You might be imagining. So opening for orders was 1 o'clock, but it was very difficult for me to actually get the iPad I wanted into the basket.
Really?
Yeah, it was, they were obviously releasing. You know, it took a few minutes before I was able to order it.
Are they using NVIDIA's shopping basket then?
Possibly. The thing is, it kept saying unavailable, kept adding it to the basket, and then it would disappear and say, I'm unavailable. I'm thinking they can't have sold out already. But there we go. So, Pete.
What did you get?
Well, I've recorded a video today, which is going up on the main channel, on which iPad should you buy. And I decided to go for the 1 terabyte version. Now, I made that decision because... of the conversation we're about to have, I do use my iPad a lot.
You do?
I'm kind of hoping that something else is coming that justifies having an M1 with 16 gigs of RAM, which is indeed what you get if you order 1 terabyte and above. I don't need a terabyte of storage. I don't want a terabyte of storage, but I have to have a terabyte of storage if I want 16 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, which is a bit annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm completely hedging my bets here that Apple are going to either release a Pro app, so I'm hoping for Logic Pro, portable music recording would be ideal for me and would mean that I don't necessarily need an Apple laptop. So it's kind of hedging bets on, is that going to happen? If it does, I would want 16 gigs of RAM. But I fully recognize that there's not a single iPad app that is going to require 16 gigs of RAM as things stand at the moment.
Not at the moment.
No.
But one has to wonder.
One has to wonder. I didn't go for an Apple Pencil because I've already got one.
Yeah, I have two. I've got two, technically.
Have you?
Yeah.
Tell us what happened to your...
Well, when we were in the studio before, sometime last year, I took this out of the case when we were doing some kind of video, so it looked smarter. and my Apple Pencil must have unknowingly pinged off. It is somewhere in this studio. It's probably under something, although I have moved lots of stuff out. It's definitely in this building.
Definitely. And in completely unrelated news, if you've recently bought an Apple Pencil used, slightly used on eBay, then, you know, that's nothing to do with this.
So you know what happens when, well, you don't lose stuff. You're very good at not losing stuff. But most of you might relate to this. If you lose something like that, it's kind of like, it's what, £100, something like that, to get a new one?
120.
120. So you sort of think, well, I'm not just going to go out and buy another one because it will turn up. So I gave it a couple of months and it didn't turn up and I was missing it because I do use it. So in the end, I did the deed, expecting what normally happens, which is the moment you buy it, the day after you find the one you've lost. Yeah. That didn't happen. However, what did happen is one of my dogs, and I don't know if you can see this on here, but one of my dogs did find this pencil and gave it a little chew for me. So it's now got lots of, well, it's a unique Apple Pencil now. It still works, but it's got teeth marks in it.
Apple would charge you extra for that kind of customization, Pete.
Yes, it's kind of puppy engraving.
What you should do is get an AirTag and attach it to your pencil, because they're only like £29 for the AirTag, and I'm sure somebody makes a case for the pencil, probably someone like Hermes. They probably only want £500 or so for the case to attach the AirTag to the pencil.
Yeah.
And then you're sorted.
So I actually went into the Apple store for the first time in a long time yesterday because I was curious about the AirTags. Yes, I don't know, there is a product called Tile. I don't know if you've ever used Tile. Yeah. Mm. And so I thought, well, before I splurge out on £29 per AirTag, I thought I'd see if they're that much better. And they're not. I mean, they look nice, and you know, yes, you can, it literally points you to them. The guy in the Apple store actually hid an AirTag in the store, and he said, right, go and find it. And my wife went round with her, well, with the demo phone, and found it, and it was pinpoint accurate. But the Tile makes a noise when you're close to it anyway, and they're cheaper.
Although I would say Tile are planning to sue Apple because they're not happy that they think Apple have an unfair competitive advantage. I don't want to get into this massively in here, but Tile use their own app and subscription services and everything because that's how they make their money.
Yeah.
So they're not actually using the Find My features, so they're not able to use the U1 chip to do that precise locating.
And okay.
I was reading up on this and reading on the forums, and a lot of people are saying that Tile is not that great, and that when it actually comes to needing to find something, AirTags are better.
Without wanting to inflame the comments section, that feels like a very Apple fanboy statement based on my experience of using Tile in real life for a period of time. The only reason we stopped using them is they ran out of batteries and I couldn't be bothered to get any more. I'm not even sure if they're replaceable in the Tile. I'd have to check.
That's something you get with the subscription service. They do provide the batteries and replacements for the ones that don't have replaceable batteries.
Right. Okay. So you get a value add there. Mm. So yeah, I'm not sure that they're that much better. When it's, you know, you're trying to find something, it will take you to roughly where it is. I suppose the only thing the AirTags do, which is awesome, is it will log where they are when any compatible iPhone goes past them anonymously. So the guy in the store said that they got someone on YouTube, a YouTuber hid them all around New York, and then his mate went finding them, and he was literally hiding them behind park benches and all sorts, and he was able to find them because other people had logged that AirTag is there, and then that's gone to an anonymized database and you can find it. So I suppose, yeah, you could say they're better. But
I don't know. I don't have any experience with either of them, and I'm not planning to make a purchase because I don't think I'd ever use it.
Well, you don't lose things.
I do lose things. I don't tend to lose the things that matter or that you could attach an AirTag to, because I am a creature of habit. Sorry about your pencil. Anyway, let's get back to my iPad order.
Yeah,
I feel like you've completely derailed the conversation just talking about your own AirTags and, you know, dog experience and everything.
People like it. People like the dog
chew tales.
Tell me if you like the dog chew. Tell me in the comment.
So I thought with my iPad. Something that I use with my current iPad, of course, as you do, is the Logitech. I think it's called a Slim Folio Pro. I could be wrong with that. It is very nice. Got a very nice keyboard with a set of function keys, Apple. Very useful to be able to turn up your volume without having to touch your screen or the side of your iPad, or change your brightness. You know, all of those kind of useful things, or even just lock your iPad with one button press, which is
massively
nice.
Useful. Yeah.
That said, when they brought out this particular generation, because we have the previous generation and it had a kickstand, which made it much more useful. This basically has two positions and it kind of falls out of one of the positions if it's not at the right angle.
Yeah.
So it's really frustrating to use this on your lap. It also doesn't have a touchpad. Now, I know that Logitech do another version. Long story short, Pete, I bought the Magic Keyboard. I thought it was £280, which was eye-watering enough. But apparently for the 12.9-inch, because it's just that much bigger, it's another £50 on top.
50 English pounds of the realm.
Indeed.
Wow.
So,
Do Hermes do one?
They might do. Is there enough money in the world to buy it if they did? I'm actually angry about it, but I bought it because I wanted to test it and review it on the channel. But it's a lot of money. And of course, I also did Apple Care because if I drop the incredibly expensive iPad, then I want that fixed. So that's quite a lot of expenditure.
It's a lot of dough, isn't it? So we are definitely getting into the realm where, I mean,
It's laptop money. The only plus point is, Pete, is that you paid for half of it. So it was cheap.
Excellent.
For me.
Excellent. And I get a crummy pink 24-inch iMac coming my way.
I probably can't afford it. We spent all our money on the Magic Keyboard.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I don't want one.
So we were keen to have one on the channel to test, obviously. And we did have a conversation before about buying this particular thing. So that's what I decided to do. So I am going to do a bit of a test with that Magic Keyboard versus the Logitech one. Incidentally, for those who are curious, because people are saying the new iPad doesn't work with the old Magic Keyboard, and that's not actually true. It does work. But Apple have made a tiny weeny adjustment to the dimensions, which means if you use the original one with the new iPad, it won't give you a perfect fit when it's closed. So if you've spent £330 recently and you're thinking, I won't need to buy that again, well, you might not. It's horrendous, isn't
it? Why? But they're caring for the planet.
I don't totally disagree with that, with all these air tags, but there we go. So that's what I've bought. And this leads into the question of iPad versus laptop, because I don't have a Mac laptop at the moment. I gave mine up for one of the developers within the studio, because we needed good quality Intel Macs at the moment. So I've bought myself a temporary PC laptop, which is okay, but I find I don't use it very much at all. I'm either using my workstation or I'm on my iPad. So for me, the iPad is the computer, and I've said this before, that I use the most.
Yeah.
So let's discuss iPad versus laptop. If you can only have one of those things, forget your homework station for a moment. In fact, let's treat it like we know you've got a homework station. So you've got an iMac.
Yep.
You can choose between an iPad or a laptop. You can only have one. Which would you have?
This is really difficult, and it's just as difficult as when we originally discussed this. For me, it all comes down to ergonomics. Okay. So I never get to the point with my iPad. And this is an iPad Pro 12-inch. It's the first generation. No, second generation.
I think this one actually might be the third of the 12.9-inch.
Okay. So it's not the most recent before the most recent launch.
The current. So the new one is the fifth.
Two generations back.
Yeah, that's the one.
I never think, this is running a bit slow. Mm. Okay. I can use it for word processing. I can use it for spreadsheets, that kind of boring stuff that happens when you start a creative business and eventually get to the point where you're the bosses. You don't get to do anything creative anymore. You get to fiddle with spreadsheets.
Well, you get to podcast with your business partner and mate.
Yeah. As I said, you don't get to do anything creative anymore. Just kidding. No, you're right. This is the creative outlet. Where was I going? Yeah. So power wise, I never think, oh, I'm going to switch to my laptop or my workstation because I've not got enough oomph. I switch to my laptop for certain tasks because I find the ergonomics of the laptop better, the pointer driven interface better for certain tasks. And to be fair, if I'm writing documents for, you know, presentation purposes, so for customers, not that I do that very often anymore, but when I do, you've got more fine control over things in Word on the Mac as opposed to on iPadOS. So I think I would go with the laptop, but it's really close.
It's a difficult one. I mean, for me, I would go with the iPad, knowing that it's what I use the most, and I'd make do without the laptop for those kind of situations, knowing that I've got the desktop machine. I got my nice desktop at home. If I come into the office, there are machines available to work at as well. If I particularly want to use an iMac or whatever, we've got those available. So for me, I think, yeah, I'd rather have the iPad. But like you, I struggled a lot with this decision because, I mean, we typically replace our iPads every 2 years. And we don't do that for any other reason other than to stay current, and also because you get money back from selling your iPad. It's an optimum time to sell an iPad after 2 years, about 3 years with a laptop. But on the used market, you still get a decent amount back, which kind of pays then towards the next one and softens the blow a bit. But I'm not unhappy with what I've got. This third generation 12.9-inch with the A12X in it is superb. I've never had a situation where it's like, this doesn't have enough RAM in it.
No.
I mean, I don't even know how much RAM it's got in it. Is it 3.5 or 4 gigs?
I think it's 4, something like that.
And I don't really play games on it, so the graphics, that's not really important to me. I've edited photos on it. I've done a bit of light video editing. I've certainly done loads of office work. I mean, I used it as my main machine for a few weeks. I use the office apps all the time. But most of the time, I guess, I'm consuming content on it. I read.
Yeah.
Read magazines, or I look at YouTube and those sort of things, and other things that I like from that point of view, which don't require any kind of performance. So for me, an iPad doesn't need to have an M1 chip, and it certainly doesn't need to have an M1 with 16 gigabytes in it, unless Apple do something cool with it. And what I'm really hoping for, and not expecting for one moment, folks, is that Apple come up with some kind of solution like the Surface Pro.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've had a couple of Surface Pros each, and we had the docks on our desk, so you could
slide it in,
dock your and onto your external screen, and desktop computer, take it around. You've got the keyboard cover and the kickstand at the back, which was fantastic. You can have it right down and use it as a drawing pad. Pull it up, use it like a laptop.
Yeah,
the keyboard was really good. The trackpad was good, as I recall.
Trackpad was good, especially if it's the best trackpad I've used on a Windows-based machine.
Although I'd say, actually, the Razer Stealth that I've got now.
Yeah, but that's a much newer machine.
It is a much newer machine, yeah.
One other thing I really liked about the Surface is the glass had some kind of treatment to make it resist the stylus slightly. So you had it felt like you were writing on paper.
Yeah.
Which I really liked.
I don't know if that was a treatment or just the makeup of the stylus, but either way, I remember that. It was a more natural feeling when writing notes, but not as good for drawing.
No.
So I'd say the iPad pencil.
And there's nothing wrong with this. I write notes just as well with that. But the Surface Pros that we had were really, really good.
They were superb. And you could, if you wanted to, you could, put Windows into tablet mode and touch mode. A lot of people don't like it. I never found it a problem. I quite enjoyed using it. So you could genuinely use your Surface Pro as a tablet, as a laptop, as a drawing device, as a desktop machine. And they were brilliant. In fact, they still are brilliant. If you want to use Windows and you want that all-in-one device, I'd definitely consider a Surface Pro. Absolutely fantastic. What it loses in performance, it does make up for in that
versatility. And you're right. It did. There were times when, because it was an Intel Windows machine, particularly when you put it in the dock and you were doing, heavy spreadsheet work was a good example. It would start whistling. The fans would come on And that was a little bit distracting. It would lose performance at that point.
Yeah, which is no different to the Intel Macs.
No, absolutely.
Or the MacBook Pros.
Which is why I think the M1 and the iPad is quite a interesting proposition, particularly with 16 gigs of RAM, and particularly if they do what we hope or we'd like Apple to do, which we don't think they will do, which is to be able to run iPad OS, but also Mac OS.
Yeah, that would just be optimum. Imagine if they came out with a dock, which would obviously be hugely expensive, but if they came out with a dock, then you dock your iPad and suddenly Mac OS fires up. I mean, that suddenly... So suppose that Apple did that for a moment. Let's just go back to our original question. iPad or laptop, you can only have one. Would you still go laptop?
I'd have to really, really think about it. I think the only other thing that would make me towards laptop is I find I like a bigger screen, bigger real estate. So my 16-inch MacBook Pro.
Is that mainly because you're getting on a bit and your eyesight is failing somewhat, so you need everything to be just a little bit larger?
Yes, that's right, you ageist git. I like a big screen. I do a lot of dense work with spreadsheets, wireframes, that kind of stuff, and, you know, editing on the go. I do like a big screen, and I have it at the highest res when I'm doing that sort of work. You're right, I am getting old, so when I'm reading stuff, I drop the res down. I think that would possibly be the only deciding factor, because the MacBook Air that I've got with the M1 in that we got for testing is a great machine, but it's just a bit too small.
Hmm. Yeah, so it's a tricky decision. Obviously, we have different, you know, different workloads, and we have different preferences, and that's what it comes down to. But if Apple did that, and let's be clear, I don't think Apple are going to do this.
But there's no reason why they couldn't now, is there?
Well,
technically speaking,
there's no reason why they couldn't run macOS on this.
True.
Actually, because if you recall, the developer transition kit had the A12Z or Z in it.
Yeah, okay.
Although the A12 processor, a lot of people say that these processors are identical, that the A series and the M series are identical. They're not identical. The way you need to think about it is like it's a tool, like a toolkit of parts. And with the M1, they use more parts. So some of the parts are the same, like the CPU cores. They are the same, mm-hmm. but the way that it's implemented is different. The amounts of cache, for example, is different. And the M chips have like T2 functionality. So all of the security enclave stuff that your Intel Macs used to do via the T2 chip, that's all built into the M chip.
Yeah,
it's not. That doesn't exist in the A chips, for example. However, there's no technical reason why macOS can't run on the iPad because, and here's the kicker, macOS is already running on the iPad. The underlying kernel that runs iPadOS and iOS is macOS.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so it was branched from macOS. How similar it is at this point in time, I couldn't tell you, but the underlying code is basically the same Mac/Unix system.
Interesting.
So it would be entirely possible to have both operating systems on the computer and have it switch up when it's docked. That's completely technically possible. Definitely makes it easier having the M1 because less incompatibilities to work around.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that would be great. And it would be hard to argue against a well-specced iPad at that point with a dock.
Yes. Although they, you know, if you price up the same specification MacBook Pro, which I think I did in the last podcast, the price is actually cheaper for the MacBook Pro. You've got to balance that off, though, with getting the touch functionality, the pencil functionality, and that XDR display.
And also just the ability. I mean, that is so portable, isn't it?
Yeah. So for those who are just listening and not watching, Pete's just folded up his iPad with his Logitech keyboard case, and it is indeed very portable.
And I'm not saying that, you know, yeah, a small laptop would be not much different from that. But typically, you then want to put it in a sleeve and then a bag and that kind of thing. Whereas this, you can just put under your arm and go to Costa, which is, of course, where all the business people do their work.
Other coffees are available. Top tip, actually, if you're a fan of good coffee and you find Costa is not strong enough for you,
Yeah.
Just ask them for a filter coffee.
Really?
Yes. Well, you know that. You're saying really like you don't know that. Well, you ordered me one this morning.
Doing it for the benefit of the listeners.
Okay. It's a whole English pound for the filter coffee.
Mm. Yeah.
And it tastes better than their weak Americano. Just saying. Hope that helps somebody out there.
Good to know. See, not just constant geekery, constant coffery.
Yeah, good consumer advice. That's what we offer. So the macOS thing is probably not that likely. A possibility in the future, but I think it would be confusing at this point in time for Apple to go down that road during their transition. I think it's already confusing them putting the M1 chip in the iPad. But I think we just got to wait until June to find out what it is. My suspicion is the most likely outcome is that they're going to bring pro apps like Final Cut and Logic to the iPad. And if they do that, then my gamble pays off.
Does it, though?
Yeah, because I would want that additional performance.
Yeah, well, yes, from that perspective. But I question whether using those apps in the iPad UI world is going to give you the right experience. But you then you use a trackpad, don't you? So
I do.
You know, whereas I use a mouse because I'm a normal human being, as we've discussed before.
I use a mouse on my PC, but I prefer a trackpad on the Mac.
Interesting.
But I suspect that's probably because PC doesn't implement trackpad in the same way. And you can't, if you connect up your magic trackpad to the PC. I mean, there's just nothing like it on the PC. That's the thing.
No.
And then Apple don't make drivers for it for obvious reasons. So, yeah, I think it would be fine. I'm sort of secretly hoping, of course, because I don't really use Final Cut anymore. I'm fully subscribed up to DaVinci Resolve, and I would like to see Blackmagic bring DaVinci Resolve to iPad.
Well, with this latest iPad that you've ordered, there's no reason why it couldn't run it. I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't run it before, but that would be really interesting, wouldn't it?
Would be. And I guess the other main thing about Thunderbolt on an iPad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Narrows the gap. I mean, yeah, okay, you've only got one port, but it's Thunderbolt.
We did talk about having more than one, didn't we? That would be nice in our aborted podcast. But yeah, one Thunderbolt is better than no Thunderbolt, that's for sure.
And I notice, they're calling it USB 4, aren't they? Did they call it USB 4 on the M1 Max? I can't remember. It didn't fully comply with the standard, does it, on the M1 Max? But perhaps this is an insight of something that's to come with the external displays and everything else.
Yeah, quite possibly. Just having a quick look now.
Something that occurs to me about it, and I'm sure other people have thought about this, but when you, with the exception of a couple of apps, when you connect an external display to your iPad, it just mirrors. You don't have the option to extend because it wouldn't make any sense at all on iPadOS.
No.
But it does make sense in video editing apps to be able to use the second display. And I'm pretty sure LumaFusion does that. So can make use of a second display. I wonder whether Apple might extend that a little bit more to make it more usable as a computer.
Mm.
And if you've got a keyboard and mouse/trackpad attached, why couldn't you then have apps running on the second display? And then it would be way more useful as a multitasker.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, that's a really good idea, actually, because I'm guessing at the moment I have used multi-display on my iPad, but like you say, just in that kind of mirroring mode. But I'm guessing it uses it for things like LumaFusion as kind of an additional monitor for your output or whatever you decide to put on it, which is useful. Okay, so let me ask you a question then. Okay, we talked about trackpads, we talked about keyboards, ergonomics, performance, kickstands. There is another area where I think currently a desktop/laptop trumps iPad. Do you know what that is?
Files.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but it always feels to me like working with files in either iPadOS or iOS, it always feels like an afterthought.
I think that's probably because it was an afterthought.
Do you think it might be? Because you cast your mind back and you just couldn't save anything anywhere, could you? And then they brought iCloud out.
Yeah, it is frustrating speaking to someone who's used the iPad for video editing, not video editing. I have done a bit of video editing. I mean, photo editing is what I'm thinking of. Back in the days when you could, you know, go abroad and I would take my camera, and I wouldn't take a laptop because I would take the iPad because I can plug in my memory card reader straight into the iPad and edit on the iPad.
Yeah.
But what I found was the copy speed is much slower on an iPad on this USB-C connection than it is over on a laptop.
Thunderbolt would be quicker though, won't it?
Maybe. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very frustrating and it's slow. But for most of what I do, think about when you're using Microsoft Office and all of those tools. Well, as a business, we use SharePoint and OneDrive. So all of my stuff is saved in the cloud. And what I absolutely love about that system is it doesn't matter if I'm on my iPad or even my phone or my desktop, or whether I'm using a PC or a Mac. When I open up the app, there are my recent files that I've worked on. I just click, it downloads the latest version from the cloud, and I work on it. So in day-to-day use, do we have to do as much file management as we used to?
No, we don't. No, we don't. And maybe that is just, you know, a holdover from where we've come from. You know, I still call things in my head. I'm still thinking of directories, you know, rather than folders. And I'm sure you do that at times, don't you? Because we are proper old school when it comes to that sort of thing. And there's probably some people out there going, directories, what are they? So it may be just that our mindset is set to a way of doing things that is, I mean, it took me a long time to get my head around, not the concept of cloud storage, but just into the mindset of saving to the cloud as opposed to saving locally and then making a backup. Does that make sense? Yeah. Whereas you're absolutely right, particularly the Office 365 ecosystem, particularly with SharePoint, is brilliant because you just got the same thing everywhere. It's great.
Yeah, so it is a limitation. You are absolutely right about that. How big of a limitation? I think the computing paradigm has shifted. The iPad is a computer. Mm-hmm. It may not be what we understand a traditional computer to be, but it is a computer. And you can use it as a computer. And for a lot of people, I think the majority of people, if you work in an office, you could use an iPad as your main computer. That's a silly statement because architects work in an office and you can't run AutoCAD on your... You know what I'm saying, though? If you're doing general purpose office work, you could use an iPad as your main computer.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people could, you know, with a few improvements to the system, which maybe hopefully will come because of that M1 chip, then this becomes a very compelling device, especially with that screen. Think photographers, think videographers. Working out in the field, I'd rather carry an iPad around than a laptop.
Yeah. Yeah. The portability is great. And I agree with you on that. Mm. And what color have you gone for?
Space gray. There's only space gray or silver.
Yeah, no,
there's
I know.
No pink.
No, I know. I just wondered if you might have gone for silver. That's all.
No, I'm not interested in silver. I like the darker side of life.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So one more thing I just want to talk about. I've taken up Apple's very generous offer of a free trial of Apple One.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've been trying this out, and what made me go for it, and in actual fact, I've taken a free trial. I have upgraded. I will stay with it. But I thought something that I'd completely missed before that you get with the premium one. So we're talking about £30 a month. So First of all, I can share it with my family. We get Apple Arcade, which we already have.
Mm-hmm.
Apple TV, well, I get that free at the moment. I wouldn't pay for it.
No.
But mainly because of all of the foul language in it. So a lot of the stuff just isn't family friendly, which really irritates me. There's just no need for it, especially that. What's the football show that they were? Ted Lasso. Oh, vile.
Netflix is no better.
Well, no, they're all like
they're
it.
They're all like it.
At least with Netflix, you can filter out stuff.
Yeah, and also the whole viewer experience, the whole using the application is nicer with Netflix.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just my personal preference. If people out there like potty mouthed football comedies, then I'm sure you enjoy Ted Lasso, but I don't personally. So I'm not fussed about Apple TV. I do pay for additional storage. So I've been paying £2.50 to Apple every month for I don't know how long for 200 gigs of storage, which gets shared between the family.
And you know, I did get an email from Tim about that, and he said he's really grateful for you doing that.
Yeah,
because it has helped his, you know, yeah.
The pension fund.
That's the one.
Thanks. And I don't know if you can hear this on my stomach is growling because I'm hungry because it's about lunchtime. So there is going to be a Dave and Pete and indeed Tom who's sat over there eats coming right up after this podcast.
But you won't see it.
No. I've totally lost where I was going with this.
You were talking about Apple you pay for storage.
Yeah, so I pay for the storage anyway. We pay for Apple Music, which is £15 a month.
Yep.
So I think if you add that up, I'm paying £22.50 for the things that I actually care about, which is the music, the arcade, and the additional storage.
And fitness?
Well, you don't get that with... I'm not paying for that at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Now, so all of the... If you pay for the £30 package, yeah, you get all of the Apple workouts. And I'm not at all interested in... In fact, I'll go back to the poll. I'd rather rub myself vigorously with a rusty cheese grater than...
Might burn a few calories doing that.
probably would. Probably more than I would watching an Apple workout. So I'm not interested in that at all. Possibly others in the family might be. So that's just nice to have. The thing that tipped the balance for me is, first of all, the storage goes up to 2 terabytes.
Yep.
Which we don't actually need. We don't use that much storage, but it's nice to have more space for backups and other things. So that gets shared out again between the family. And the news app. Now, I like to read magazines, and it had never occurred to me before to check which magazines were included in the news subscription. So I like things like Motorcycle News.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bike. There's a theme going with this. I like the magazine Ride.
That's a horse magazine, isn't it?
No.
Okay.
I like computing magazines as well. I do, you know, traditionally have subscribed to quite a lot of magazines. Well, you only got to subscribe to a couple of those magazines and you're already more than the cost difference. And
yeah,
they're included with News Plus. So I am indeed going to give Apple £360.
Yeah, well done.
£360 every year. That seems like a lot now I'm saying it like that. But that's what I'm going to do. And I suspect...
Just had another email come in from Tim thanking you for that.
So. Okay, good. Glad he appreciates it.
Why am I your PA for him? Just email him yourself, Tim.
Crazy. Yeah, what do you think about that? Is that crazy? I think they've priced that very cleverly to pull people in. And I am genuinely sorry if you didn't know that about the news app and you like magazines and now you're going to have to go and buy the Apple One subscription. So apologies for making you spend money.
Well, I might look at it now so I can continue subscribing to your Sinclair.
Interesting. Good. Well, I think that's probably enough of our waffle for another week anyway.
It probably is. It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. Our competition. Incidentally, I know where, or at least I did know where the Chromebook is.
Yes.
It's upstairs, isn't it?
Yes.
Cupboard. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been there for...
2 years?
Nearly 2 years. So I hope your expectations are set appropriately on what this prize is. However, this is your last opportunity. And you'll need to go back to a previous episode of the podcast to have a look at the purple background. We need to know what's happening behind the purple background. The closest answer will win the prize, and we will announce the winner next week. So if you want to enter that competition, you need to send an email to podcast@constantgeekery.com with your idea. Now, if you don't want to win that particular computing delight that is the cheapest possible Chromebook you can buy, you can also put forward a suggestion for how it might be destroyed, and we will destroy it in a creative way in a video, special video on the channel. And we will also donate a laptop that is better to some needy cause, because it feels wrong to just destroy.
Because we're nice like that.
Yeah. So that's how it's going to work. We've had a few entries. There is one that's quite close. I will tell you that. So you're going to have to be on the money with this.
But yeah.
There you go. So have a look at the previous podcast. There's a purple background. Obviously, there's a video behind the purple overlay that's been blurred. What is that video? What is in it? And we'll do the big reveal next week. When I say we, I mean Tom will. He'll have to edit it.
Mm.
and then we'll announce the winner.
And I really hope we get to destroy that Chromebook, because I don't feel anyone wants that in their life, but someone might. Who knows?
Some people do, apparently. Yeah. However, I will just say, we will post it anywhere within reason, but if you live in Outer Mongolia and it's going to cost us hundreds of pounds to send it, then that's just not going to happen. So,
well, unless we find a reasonable courier service like Hermes. Do you know what? There's a theme here about companies called Hermes on this channel, isn't there?
There is. I have some more courier delights to relate as well, but I'll save those for another podcast, another time. I think we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so thanks everybody for joining us this week on the Constant Geekery podcast.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.